Amen. Amen. Well, tonight is a teaching and not a preaching. And it's the word I wanted to bring last night, but it seems the Lord wanted to go another way last night. But we have the main leadership of the church here tonight. So we want to talk about what is God's order for the church. What is God's order for leadership in the church? Amen? And I believe we started the other day, we introduced the verse from Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read it again, a few verses, and then we'll kind of pick up from there. Okay? So it says, and chapter 4 of Ephesians verse 11, and He gave... Now that's God. God gave, these are things God gave to the church. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds. I'm going to say the word shepherd here. And teachers. The purpose, of course, is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is to build up the body of Christ. All right? To make the body of Christ stronger. Okay? Let me go on. And how long will this last? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I think we agreed the other night that the church has not yet come to that level, have we? We're not yet in the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. We're still not quite in the perfect man. Amen. And then it goes on, I'll read a little more, that we henceforth be no more children. So, you see, even though when we're born again we've become children of God, what he's saying here is the purpose of ministry is to help us grow up so that we are no more children. Okay? Now, what does it say about children? That we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they wait to deceive. So the leadership of the church is to help the people, in particular those who are children, so they are not the winds that blow. The winds of you know, there's all kinds of winds blowing out there in the world. Now the winds, at least in America, the winds are, we need to take care of the homosexuals, and they all need to be part of the church, and the ministry, now the churches are ordaining ministry that has fallen into this kind of sin. And this is one of the winds. See, I just give you an example of the winds. Some of these television evangelists have got their winds that they blow, and let's all do this, let's all do that. You remember the Toronto blessing? You remember hearing about that? Well, thank God you didn't. But it was a crazy thing going on in the church. Started off, I think it started somewhere in Europe, and over here it was mainly in Toronto, in Canada. And it was this big Pentecostal church. They called it the Airport Vineyard Church, I think is what they called it. And the people were crawling around on the floor and barking like dogs and calling out like cows and sheep. And they said, "This is the Holy Ghost. And this is one of these winds of doctrine." And it went everywhere. And then there was a man in Florida, you know, and this is the thing of God, you know. His name was Todd Bentley. And he was just coming, and everybody came up, and he would put his hands on them, and they were all falling over. Bam, bam. And he would say, bam, when he touched them. And somebody said to him, well, what is that? Well, he said, that's speaking in tongues. That's not speaking in tongues. And you know, these are winds blowing about. I mean, it was happening in Paul's time, and it's happening now. By the way, I have a nephew that lives not far from Toronto. I grew up way up in northern New York State, and we just have to cross a bridge, and we're over into Canada. Well, my nephew went over to that church one time, and at the very beginning of the church, the pastor got up. Now, this is a big church. I mean, this is hundreds of people that come to submit themselves to this kind of spirit. And my brother's sons, they went to this church, and I said to the one nephew, I said, so tell me what happened up there. Tell me about this place. And he said, well, the very first thing, the pastor got up and he said, now I want to tell you, and I'm going to use a number. I'm not sure it's a number, but I'll say a number. 90% of what you see here tonight is not going to be the Holy Spirit. But the 10% that will be the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't want to miss that for anything. And I was just appalled that a pastor would say that. What he's saying is, only 10% of what I'm doing is of God. Can you believe that? And this is what's going on. It isn't just people crawling on the floor and slithering around like snakes. It isn't just this. It's a lot of other foolishness that's going on in the churches, and it's not of God. And the sad thing is, they don't have leaders that recognize what is God and what is not God. I remember hearing a man speak. Oh, I don't know what year it was. It might have been in the 1960s. You know, I was a Nazarene in the 1960s. Maybe people didn't know that. I didn't leave because I had a problem. I left because I left Alaska, and I went back to New York, and I was looking for another church. I didn't know in-out organization. I didn't know any of those things in those days. It was just, you know, I was a happy place to be. I was about 20 years old, you know, 21 or 22. But I started to say there was a thing going on in those days, too. And I can't remember what it was. But anyway, the purpose of the ministry is to help the people, to help them grow up, and of course, so that we are no longer children. That means that the ministry is not supposed to be children either. And a lot of ministry is acting like children also. So the difference between children and sons, see, we're talking about sonship. The Bible talks about sons, He talks about children. And God is wanting us to come and mature. Yes, we can get into heaven as a child. You know, the thief on the cross, he never had a chance to grow up. He never had a chance to get baptized. He acknowledged the blood of Jesus. He called Him Lord. He wanted to come into the kingdom of God. And the Lord said, today you'll be with me. Amen. But the man died, he was a child. He was a newborn baby. But if God gives you more time than that, you need to grow up. All right, so enough of that. All right, what about these... I think we've read far enough, yeah. Well, let me read two more verses. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. These words all mean something. Growing up. You see, the church needs to preach growing up. We need to tell people they need to grow up. You know, we had a sister one time years ago. I don't know how many years ago it was. 20, 25 years ago. She came to our fellowship. And she had a lot of problems. And she was always wanting deliverance for something. So we would pray. We would pray. We would pray. We would pray. And she came back and she came back and she came back. And she was always having the same problem. And one day, she was in the back room of the church, and I saw her right there in the kitchen. And she said to me again, she said, Brother Mark, I need prayer for such and such. And I felt of the Lord to say to her, I said, Sister, if I'm going to pray for you anymore, you need to agree with me that you're going to grow up. And we can't just keep going round and round and you being a child. And you know, I was shocked. She looked at me and she said, but I don't want to. I mean, this is a woman that's 50 years old. She looked at me and she said, but I don't want to. I said, then I don't think there's any more I can do for you. And you know what? It wasn't long that she left the church. She was getting a divorce from her husband. He was one of the richest men in town. He had a big truck and gravel business. He must have had 20 or 30 huge, huge dump trucks, a big gravel pit. I mean, he was into everything. He gave her a house. He gave her a brand new Cadillac. And you know what? Within a matter of a couple of years, she lost the house. She lost the Cadillac. And I heard that she was living like a bag lady. You know what I mean by bag lady? Homeless. Running around with a little bag of clothes, looking for a place to shelter. Why? Because she told me, I don't want to grow up. Now, we're talking about the fivefold ministry. All right? Now, God has fivefold ministry. And the fivefold ministry is for the whole church. But God also has local ministry in the local church. Okay, He has an order for the local church as well. But let's start off with the fivefold ministry. How many fingers on my hand?
Five.
Yeah, it's only one hand. And some people say, well, the ministry speaks of the hand of God. Now, Jesus, it says right here, Christ is the head of the church. Okay? So, my question to you is this. How do you know that I'm in the true church? How can I tell if I'm in the true church? Or, you know, there's a false church. You know that, don't you? I don't have to tell you that. But how can I tell? And by the way, I'm not saying that there aren't saved people in the wrong church. There are saved people there. But you know, the word of the Lord says, come out of her, my people, that she be not a partaker of her plagues. Why? Because God is going to judge that kind of church. He's going to judge the Babylon church. He's going to judge the harlot church. And you know, I thought I had it all figured out. I thought, oh, Roman Catholic, that's Babylon. That's it. That's the false church. But you know what? I found out that Babylon was a whole lot bigger than I ever thought it was. And then I began to find out that I had traits of Babylon in me. So I can come out of Babylon, but Babylon and her ways, they have to come out of me too. How many of you believe that? Come on. You can say amen here. Amen. Yeah. We can liven it up here with some amens. That'll tell me I'm on the right track. If you don't agree, say, no, no, brother. And you can make me prove what I'm saying. All right, I don't mind. You know, I went to hear a speaker one time, and he was going to talk about the rapture. And I thought, well, this will be interesting. I want to hear what this fellow has to say. And so I waited till the break. He had a break in the middle. He was in a hotel. And in the break, another brother and I, we came up quietly, very quiet. And we said, Brother, can you explain to me how you interpreted that verse that you just gave us? Tell me where you get your interpretation. This man was so offended. He went over to the microphone. He said, who are these guys? Where did they come from? Who are you? How dare you challenge me? I mean, I couldn't believe he was like this. And I thought, brother, I thought that you were of the humility of Jesus Christ. And here you are. I came to you quietly. Nobody around, no loudspeaker, to ask you a question. And you are so defensive. You can't defend what you have to say from the Word of God, so therefore you just try to shout me down and make me feel embarrassed. I said to the brother that was with me, I said, we're not getting anywhere here, let's leave. So we went out. Now, we're going to talk about fivefold ministry again. All right, let me explain how this fivefold ministry works. Now, you know that in the book of Acts, it says in Antioch, there were what two ministries are listed in Antioch in the first book of Acts? It says there were prophets and apostles. And, of course, there were other brethren there as well. Okay? And it says that they fasted and they waited on the Lord. And the Lord said, set apart unto me Paul and I believe it was Silas, wasn't it? For the ministry in which I have called them. So the word apostle actually means the one sent. Now, in order to be sent, you have to have a place to go. So you are sent and you go. But there's people that go that aren't sent. But God has to be the one to send them. And in this case, it's the body of Christ that sent them out. Okay? So just because you go and travel and go somewhere doesn't mean you're an apostle. Okay? Let us look at my hand. Here are the five fingers, and let's say the thumb is the apostle. This is the apostle. This is the main finger of the function of my hand. There isn't much I can do with my hand if I'm missing my thumb. Let me show you. I can try to pick this up. Can you imagine my trying to drink a glass of water without my thumb? You know? I'm going to spill it. In other words, I'm going to get into a lot of trouble if I can't have my thumb. Now, I don't know many apostles. In fact, I've only known one man so far that I would genuinely acknowledge that he was really the apostle sent of God. He's a man who is strong. He is a man who knows the Word of God. He is a man who has been taught of God. Amen. And he's not going to bring something different from the Bible. He's going to bring an apostolic message. Now, the apostolic message is what was laid down by Jesus Christ and given to his apostles. And it was written down in the Word in the New Testament. But it's a message that's been lost to the church. They seem to have lost the meaning of what the apostles understood. So this apostle has the apostolic message. Okay? And he's going to keep the other ministry. He's going to help and oversee and give guidance to the rest of the ministry. Now, there's something interesting in the tabernacle. I don't know if you remember the details of the tabernacle. I'm talking about the tabernacle building itself, where you have the boards, the gold-covered boards that go around the outside of the tabernacle. And on these boards, there are five rods that go through the rings. There's rings that were attached to the boards. And the middle rod goes all the way across. The middle rod, all the way across. But on the top, there's a short rod that goes halfway, and another short rod that comes halfway. And underneath this one, there's a short rod, and there's a short rod. But remember now, the boards speak of the people, the body of Christ. And each board is only 1.5 cubits in size. Now, 1.5 is an incomplete number, isn't it? So that means that none of us are complete without the other. And what is the purpose? See, also, the rings hold on to the ministry. They hold on. But the ministry, the purpose of these rods is to keep these boards from, you know, from going off. But the one main rod that goes all the way through is the apostolic rod. Everything, you know, joined together by that apostolic rod. Okay? The next finger is this finger. And what do you think of? Which ministry would you think is this finger? Ah, yes. I would say the prophet ministry. The prophet is the man who gives the word of the Lord. Yea, thus saith the Lord. You know? You think of Isaiah, you can think of Jeremiah, you think of Elijah. But there are these ministries, they haven't passed away. God says that these ministries are here until we all come. Now, the point is we look forward to the time when these ministries come to an end, but they will come to an end when we all come to this place of maturity in Christ. Okay? So in other words, it isn't just the ministry that is to be mature, but the body is to be mature as well. And that's the ministry's purpose, is to bring about the maturity of the body. Now, of course, sometimes there are people that don't want to be mature, like I told you. I said, no, I don't want to grow up. She just came right out and told me that. Okay, now, so the prophet... Now, these are the two ministries that most of the evangelical churches have done away with. Isn't that interesting? The two most important ministries... The evangelical churches, the Baptist church, let's say the Baptist church. Okay, we won't point at anybody else. But I know that they've come right out and told me that they believe that these ministries have been done away with. So, okay, what kind of business are you going to be able to do with your other three fingers? You just can't do very much, can you? So, and that's the way it is in the Spirit. Now, this ministry, this one here, the longest finger. The longest finger. At least on my hand, it's the longest finger. The middle finger. This is the finger that reaches out the furthest. What ministry do you suppose that would be? It has the outreach. The ministry that reaches out to the lost. Evangelist. This is the man that has a heart for the lost. There are you get to know these people. There are certain people you know. They're always thinking about, oh, this man is lost. Let's pray for him. And you know, I don't always think about that. I don't have anything against it. I travel with other men sometimes, and we get on the airplane. And I sit next to somebody, and I'm content to be quiet, you know. Hey, how you doing, you know. But these other folks, they get on the airplane. Oh, they've got little tracks, and they got little books with them, and they're just hoping they can meet somebody that's lost. And they're just wanting to give him something and tell him, I'll give you my phone number, call me when you get home, and I'll help you out, you know. I mean, this is the way they are. This is the gift that they have. This is the way God made them. And these are people, the church needs evangelism. Amen?
Amen?
But you know what? The whole orientation of the church is not just evangelism. There has to be a balance. In other words, if every Sunday you get together, you preach, everybody here have to get saved, everybody get saved, come on, everybody get saved. Well, after a while, if everybody's saved, come on, let's go on and preach something else. Okay? But it's necessary, and especially if you sense that there's people around that are not saved, and then you go out beyond the church and you begin to reach other people and bring them in. This is the evangelism. Okay? Now, you got two more fingers left. Okay? Now, this finger here, it's not very big, I suppose. But, I happen to be wearing something on this finger today. And what is it? What's this? What kind of a ring? Wedding ring? Yes. And what does that represent? That represents a love ministry, doesn't it?
Yeah, love.
A love. And the shepherd, what does he do for the sheep? He loves the sheep. Shepherds just love, 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 love. Love the sheep. Amen? And take care of the sheep and feed the sheep. And Jeremiah says that there were shepherds in his day that were not taking care of the sheep. They were not feeding the sheep. And when the sheep were wounded, they were not going after the sheep to bind up their wounds and to care for them. Bind up their legs and take care of their wounds, like you were taken care of, brother. A shepherd ministry taking care of you.
Amen.
It might have been Sister Patty and Brother Bill, but they were shepherding you. Amen. Now, you don't have to have a shepherd calling to shepherd people. I mean, a prophet can shepherd people, an evangelist can shepherd people. But I'm talking about the action of the ministry. Okay, there's one finger left. And there's one ministry left. What one would that be? We didn't get to the teacher yet, did we? Well, the teacher is the last one mentioned. And maybe not very important, but I'll tell you, if I've got a problem in my ear, this finger fits the best. So you see, the teacher is able to get into your ear. And he can explain things for you and lay it out for you so that you can say, ah, yes, now I see. Okay, so is there any question about fivefold ministry? Now remember, these five, we're talking about a ministry. These are the ministries that generally go out. They have a local church where they're part of, but they travel out usually from the local church. And you know, there were ministries that John was sending out in the days after, you know, Christ. I believe that Peter was sending some out. We know that John was sending some out. Do you know that? From I think it's 3 John, where he talks about Diotrephes. Remember Diotrephes? He said, I sent unto you a letter, but Diotrephes forbade them. In other words, well, let me find it so I can get it straight. I want to read it the way John said it. But we know that John was an apostle, and he was also sending out his apostolic messages to the church. And I think it's here in... Maybe it's in 1 John. Which verse? Did somebody find it? Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's in 3 John. 3 John chapter 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So Diotrephes was a pastor in one of the churches. I say pastor. He was a man who ruled over the church. He was a man who decided that the Apostle John, he was not going to let him come. He wasn't going to let his men come. And he wasn't going to let his letter come. And if anybody wanted to, he said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating about us with malicious words. In other words, he was telling malicious talk about John. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Doesn't this sound like a modern pastor, doesn't he? And this was during Paul's life. John's life. It was during John's life. I'm sorry, I meant John. And we know that John probably died in about the year 98. So within the first century, do you see what has cropped up in the church that should have been the true church? Did you find it in your Bible, brother?
Third John.
Yeah, Third John. It was the last letter of John. Now let's talk about the local church. Okay, I talked about the ministry. The for the most part, now every local church will probably have one of at least one, maybe more of these ministries. Depends how big a church you are, but a small congregation probably does not have all five of these ministries in your fellowship. Okay? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Okay? Oh my. I don't think we can ever finish this today. I'll just try to go fast, okay? You said you don't need to interpret. Matthew 20. The mother of James and John came to Jesus and said, I want something from you. He said, what do you want? He said, well, I want my two sons to sit on your right hand and on your left hand in your kingdom. So you see, first of all, they didn't understand what the kingdom was about. They were still thinking of some kind of an organization where one, Jesus, they would allow him to be the head. But then they were going to have a second to the head and a third to the head. And what Jesus told them is this. And I'm going to read it to you. You don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I will drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we are able. What cup and what baptism was he talking about? The cup of suffering. Baptized in the fire of suffering. He said, are you able to do that? And they said, yes, we are. So, then he said, in verse 25, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise authority over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. Now what he's describing here is a pyramid organization. He's saying that in this organization you have those that are at the top, and they have authority over others, and then they have authority over others. And then he said in the next verse, but this shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. So in other words, he's saying to the church, you shall not have a pyramid organization. Now what do the church denominations, what are they like? Well, let's take the Catholic Church. That's an easy one to throw stones at, right? They have the Pope. They have the cardinals and the archbishops. They have the what are the high priests called? No, they have another one. They have a term for the priests that are important, but they're not bishops. Senior or something. I don't know what they call them. Well, then they have the priests, and then they have the people. Now you say, well, oh, that's quite obvious. Well, what about the churches? They have a superintendent. They have a district superintendent. They have all these sub-superintendents. And, well, you know, the Assembly of God, they're the same way. They have a headquarters in Springfield, Missouri. And then they have their ministries, and then they have the people. This is what Jesus is talking about. He said, this shall not be so among you. What he's saying is that I am the head, and everything else, you are all brethren. So, well, Brother Mark, you say, what place does the where is the leadership in the church then? Okay, let's go over to Acts chapter 20, and we're going to see what is written here in the book of Acts. I know I'm kind of going quickly, but if you want more detail, you can look at some of those CDs that I left with you, because where I described this in more detail in some of the other places that we went to. In Acts chapter 20, Paul has come to verse 17. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem now. He's finished his ministry in Asia. And he says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now this is the city of Ephesus. And as far as we know, each city had only one church. And no matter how big it was, no matter how many places they had to meet, it was one church. And that one church had elders. Now the word elder is presbyters. That's the Greek word. They were presbyter. What is the meaning of an elder? An older man. And by the way, elder is not a female term. I know the modern churches see another wind of doctrine. Well, the women have a right to be ministers and pastors too, you know, women bishops and all this. No, this is not God's order. In the church, amen, in the home, God has order in the way He wants things run. Okay, so now He called the elders. Now turn over, go to the next verse here. In verse 28, He says to the elders, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now that flock is sheep. Take heed to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Do any of you have an English Bible or another Bible that says another word than overseers? Is it overseers? Okay. Leaders. What version do you have there, brother? Is that an English version? What? I just wondered what version it is. Oh, you have an NIV. Okay. NIV. I hope I can bring you a good King James Bible next time. Because the real word here is overseers. It's the most correct English word. Now, the word in Greek here is episcopus. And do you know what they did to that word in Titus? They took the same word and they called it bishop. You look in Titus, you look in Timothy, where Paul says, if a man desires the office of bishop, he desires a good thing. What it is the same word. It should say, if the man desires oversight, he desires a good thing. And you look up the word office, the word office is not in the Greek. There's no office. And there's no bishop. Amen?
Amen.
So the elders are the overseers. You say, well, the elders are the bishops. No, the elders are the overseers. It's, you see how they've taken these words, and brother, don't be offended, but the NIV is one of the worst ones that they've changed the words. If I get a chance, I'm going to bring you a good King James Bible. And maybe we can get you a concordance too, that you can look these words up. Okay, so he told them that they are overseers to feed. That feed is to shepherd, the act of shepherding the sheep, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Now, let's look at what Peter had to say about elders. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, Peter is basically confirming everything that is said here that Paul said in the book of Acts. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." So here, Peter is an apostle, but he's saying that he's an elder. Okay? If I'm a prophet, I'm also an elder. If I'm a teacher, I am also an elder. Okay? If I'm an evangelist, or a shepherd, I'm also an elder. Amen? So Peter says that he himself is an elder. He doesn't lay claim to any other reverend or most reverend or father or anything else. Jesus said, don't call people by these kind of titles. And you know, that includes the title of pastor as well. It's a title. It's a title, brethren. I remember calling up a brother that I knew in the city one time. We had one time had some meetings with them in their church. And his secretary answered the phone. And I said, Is Brother Jones there? He said, Pastor Jones is not here. I said, well, when will Brother Jones be in? Pastor Jones is out. He'll be, you know. And she couldn't talk without, like, she was bowing and genuflexing every time she had to say pastor before she said his name. And a few years later, I called that number again because I think he had something for sale that I was interested in. And I called that same church and I said, is brother, I named his name. I said, is he there? Oh, she said, he's an apostle now. I said, oh, really? How did he get to be an apostle? Oh, she said, he's traveling. He's out going about, you know. So he's an apostle. Well, this had to be his idea. He was telling people that I'm going to be an apostle now. And you know, see, this is man's ambition. We need to be content to be in the ministry and the calling that God has called us, and not to try to think that we're going to climb the ladder and get into something better and something higher. Listen to what Peter is saying here, all right? And he said, I'm an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Okay? He's also going to be a partaker of the glory. He said, feed the flock of God. There he's saying again to the elders, shepherd the sheep. Feed is the word pomiano. It means to shepherd the sheep. Let me make sure I got that word right. Well, you're not going to know the difference anyway. But it means to shepherd the sheep. All right? Which is among you taking the oversight. Now there's that word that they translated as bishop. So he's saying to the elders, if you want to take the translation that they gave when the church did this translation, he's saying to the elders that you're bishops. Well, now you know the church doesn't describe bishops that way, do they? No, they say the bishop is the boss of the boss. But this is the word that the New Testament uses. He's saying to the elders, take the oversight, feed the flock. Amen? Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. In other words, not by force. You don't force the sheep. Amen? But willingly, not for filthy lucre. In other words, you're not doing it for money either. Okay? But of a ready mind. Now listen, he goes on. Neither as being lords, bosses, big shots, over God's heritage, but as being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Amen. So we don't take dominion over, and we don't overcome other people. Now, what that is called in the Word of God is Nicolaitanism. Did you know what that word Nicolaitan means? Let's go over to Revelation, because we need to define some of these words. Revelation chapter 2. Chapter 2. And this is, we're talking to the church of Ephesus. Now, this is the same church that Paul wrote those letters to. Okay? Paul wrote those letters before he died, about the year 60-something, somewhere in the 60. So here we come now, about 30 years later, and what is the condition of this church of Ephesus? This church of Ephesus was the one that Paul called the elders. They had elders. They didn't have bishops. They didn't have pastors. There were elders, plural. Plural word. Not chief elder, not second elder, not equal brethren, mature men who were looking after the flock of God, working together as one under the headship of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, here is this church, Ephesus, and the verse here says, well, first of all, he says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your candlestick. Now, what's that mean for the church? If you don't have your lampstand, I should call it lampstand, because the real word is lampstand. If the church does not have the lampstand of the Lord, you've lost your charter with Christ. And you can carry on your business, and you'll never know the difference. You're just doing ritual. You do it like you've always done it. People keep coming, just keep doing it. But you've lost the presence of the Lord. So he says now, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, we need to find out what these Nicolaitans is. Because if God hates something, I don't want to be anywhere near it. Would any of you want to get anywhere around something that God hates? Oh, no. If God says He hates a thing, get me as far away as you can. All right, so let's go to the next verse and we're going to define what this is. Now we come to the next church, and that is in verse 15, and that is the church of Pergamos. And he says here that they have some bad doctrines in their church. So the first thing here, he says in verse 15, thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, and he tells them to repent, or I will come quickly and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. So what they were doing in Ephesus, what they had begun to do, now in Pergamos, they had made it a doctrine. All right, let me define the word Nicolaitan. See, I need a board here, brother. I'm going to have to make you guys a gift, and we can buy one of those white boards, and I'll write these words on it so that you can see what they are. If I come again, we'll get you one of those boards. A whiteboard. Amen. Would that be all right? You can keep it out of the way when you're not using it. Okay. It's a Greek word that has... It's two parts of a word. Two words in one. Nikolai. Niko. Niko means... Well, Nike. How many of you see Nike on the sneakers? Have any of you got sneakers that say... there's the symbol right there, Nike. But do you know what the word Nike means? It means dominion, rule over, take authority over. Oh yeah, that's what it means. It's a Greek word. And now the word Nicolaitan. Now what does the word laity means? Who are the laity? Who are the lay people? The people. The sheep. The little people. So Nicolaitan is taking the rule, those who take authority over the sheep and rule over them. Peter said you should not do that to the sheep. You don't take constraint, rule them by constraint. Now, when I was a young fella and I agreed that they wanted me to be a pastor. Well, I came down, and this other brother came over to me at a meeting one time, and he says, "Brother Mark," he says, "you've really got to rule over the sheep." Really? Well, I didn't rebuke him or anything. He was older than me, and I thought, well, but you know, there was something, it just didn't feel right. You know, I can do that in business. I can tell the man how to work, you know, and carry this over there and do this and do that. That's my business. You know, and that kind of a system works good in business. It works good in the military. You know, you can't have a military where everybody's a private running around, you know, and who, what do I do next, you know? No, somebody has to be the boss. But what Jesus is saying is, it's different in my church. I am the boss. I am the boss. Amen. I am the master. He says, "You call me master, and so I am. But you are brethren." And so we don't deal that way with the sheep. Well, when I heard the message from, it was actually Brother DeCille, I heard the message. I heard it from Brother Campbell as well. But Brother Campbell was a prophet, and he didn't say it quite as straight as Brother DeCille did. And I was just stricken. I said, "Oh my God, we're out of order. What can I do?" And I thought, "Oh God, I'll just leave. I'll resign." And then I thought, "But Lord, you said these are your sheep. You sent me here because they're your sheep. What shall I do?" And finally I said, "What I shall do is, there are two other brethren, and they are perfectly capable. I will tell them I am not pastor. I am elder. You are elder. You are elder. And we will work together, and we will be equal." Amen. And I recognized, okay, I have a gift. I have to also express my gift. I'm a teacher. So I'm going to be teacher, but you can be teacher too. And so I take some leadership in some things. But we're not going to rule over the sheep. Now, I had to be tested in this. Okay? Somebody gave us a beautiful, grand piano. I mean, this piano was worth $5,000. They gave it to me. And the brother elder who was gifted in music, it was his gift. He loved music. He'd play. Oh, he'd play. It was a piano, by the way. It didn't have a... Brother, you need to get rid of that. It's too distracting. It's okay. You can give it up. You'll have the Spirit of God. But anyway, so they came to me and they said, "Brother Mark, we need to get rid of that piano." I said, "Why? I loved it." He said, "Well, the humidity in the building, you have to keep these things at a perfect atmosphere. It has to be dry enough." He says, "I can already see on the strings, there's beginning to get some corrosion and some rust on the strings." And he said, "If you keep it much longer, it's going to deteriorate and you're never going to get rid of it." I said, "Oh, no, 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 we can't get rid of that." And then the brother said to me, "Okay, you said we are elders, we are equal with you. Two of us agree that we're going to sell it. And what do you say? It's two against one." I said, "Okay, you're going to make me eat my words? It shall be sold." You see, we have to practice what we're going to say. Now, so the word on eldership is plurality. It is always a plural number. My goodness, we're getting close to an hour. And if you want to look up the history of eldership, you go back to the days of Moses. Do you know who first recommended eldership? It was Jethro. Jethro, his father-in-law. He came to Moses, and Moses was sitting there morning till night. He was so tired at the end of the day, people coming with his problems. And Jethro said to Moses, look, you need to appoint 70 other elders, men of good reputation, men of honesty, men who can carry the burden with you. And Moses said, that's good. It was from the Lord. And so Moses appointed 70 elders. The elders came together one day, and they were all going to come. Moses was going to pray for them and get the anointing upon these elders. And the elders began to prophesy, but two of the elders didn't make the meeting. They were out in the camp. Remember the story? And Joshua came running to Moses, and he said, Moses, Moses, two of the men out in the camp, they're prophesying. They're supposed to be at the meeting. They're out there. Forbid them, Moses. And Moses said, would to God that all men did prophesy. Let them be. So God poured out His anointing on even the ones that weren't at the meeting. Now, do you know that Jesus also had 70? And He sent them out? And He sent them out with the same authority that He sent out the 12. He told them to cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, remember, cast out devils. And the 70 had the same authority that the disciples, the apostles, did. Now, I think we've kind of hit the high points. Fivefold ministry, Peter. Yeah, I think we've hit the high points. Maybe you've got some questions. As I said, this is teaching tonight.
You said earlier, brother, we are not here to judge new church, right?
We are what?
We are not here to judge new churches. We are not here to judge new churches.
Judge the churches.
Yeah, to judge the churches or the, let's say like this, or the false regulations or laws they follow. I wonder if it is case or like this in Belize. Let's say the country of Belize, they says that some churches here, they don't believe in the Father. They only believe in Jesus. So I don't really get that clear. I know that that is not our study for tonight, but what I am trying to find out fully understandably, that there are churches doesn't believe in the Father. They only believe in Jesus.
All I can say, brother, is look in the Bible. Look in the Bible. Jesus believed in the Father.
Yes.
He prayed to the Father. He said, "Me, the Father and I are one." But He called Him the Father.
Yes.
So, if you're talking about judging the churches, we're not judging them in the sense that we are going to say this one is going to hell or anything like that. But we do have to judge their fruit. The Bible tells us very clearly. Why did Paul say, when I have gone, the wolves are going to come among you? And these wolves are going to come dressed like sheep. In other words, it's going to be false religion that's going to come in destroying the Word of God. And we know, you go look at the church history, brother, it was well underway in the first two centuries. Well underway. There was a man by the name of Ignatius that was a bishop from Antioch. And in the year 108, he offended the emperor. He went into the emperor was bragging about his victories over the heathen and all what have you. And he went into the temple, and this man went into the pagan temple and rebuked the emperor. So he sentenced him to be sent to the lions in Rome. Well, if you want to die, that's a sure way to die. Go in and rub it in the face of the emperor. But on the way to Rome, he wrote letters to all the churches. He wrote seven letters, and he told the churches, there needs to be a bishop of every church, and nothing can be done in the church without the bishop. You can't baptize anybody. You can't marry anybody. You can't have communion unless the bishop is there to do it. Now that is contrary to the priesthood of all believers. The principle is priesthood of all believers. And if you remember that, the order that we're talking about here is the priesthood of all believers, but it also recognizes that some of us are children and we need mature elders to guide us. So God does not have a problem with leadership. What He has a problem with is leaders who want to take dominion, Nicolaitan dominion, over the sheep. That's what God has a problem with. Amen. Well, God bless you. I'll still answer more questions if you have them.